you both live in Nashville. You've played together quite a bit, but I'm curious about how this trio with Zakira initially came together.
Yeah, well, it's a Nashville thing. It was an incredible opportunity that came to Edgar and I because the Schermerhorn Center was about to open up, and they wanted to commission a work from Nashville composers. And Edgar and I had done a piece together a couple of years earlier, a double concerto for bass and banjo and
actually
orchestra.
Actually, with the namesake of the building.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so they asked us if we would consider writing, and we were like, well, we just did that. We just did it. It just seemed so soon. And they said, well, triple concerto with the right third person. And Edgar and I thought, well, now that makes it very hard to say no to if it's the right third person.
Yeah, and between the two of us, you know, our bucket list would be different. But there was one person who seemed to show up at the top of both lists.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, not to go too much into it, but, you know, people were on that list like Wynton Marsalis and Bobby McFerrin. And that would have been cool, too. But the secret guy we were hoping would work out with was Zakir, because he was the guy, I think, that we both felt we would learn more new information from. And thank goodness he was into it and he was open to doing it. We really didn't know him. He didn't know our music. It was like starting from scratch. But we had something to bring him to get his attention. It was like, hey, do you want to write a big concerto together to open the concert hall in Nashville that's going to really, really be a big part of the community? And he just came in.
So that's actually an aspect of this concert that we're doing that's kind of neat. It's going to be our first time back in that room, and that room is our first public appearance together.
That's right.
What does your compositional process look like between the three of you? Is it a lot of improvising? Do you go off and write things down and bring them back? What does that look like?
Depends on the project, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, you do whatever it takes. I mean, and variety in the approach is a good thing, because if we had a quote process that was well-defined, then it's not, it can happen that you end up just coming up with a similar result every time. So whether somebody sings a melody or whether somebody's figured out something on an instrument or has it on a computer or we talk about ideas, all these things can generate pieces, and they're all important.
I'll throw out a little thought about that, how we're really different. But I tend to get my banjo out, and then I find some idea on it, and then it turns me on, and then I write a part or something. And that's kind of how I write. And then I use the craft, whatever little craft I have, to try to complete it and make it into a final song. Edgar's process is very different. A lot of times his process is not, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's not with an instrument in your hand. It's thinking about the music.
My instrument's just too hard. I mean, you know, if I tried to write on my instrument, everything would be slow and low.
And then when you get to Zakir and you say, "And Zakir, we've got this idea we're working on, and we really need something in, you know, a melody that's in seven that hits the fourth beat every once in a while," he opens his mouth and he sings the perfect thing before he's even thought about it. It just comes out. And so he's like the problem solver in our pieces and our arrangements. He's always, we're like, what are we going to do about this? He says, well, it's obvious. We do, you know, and he gives us the solution. Edgar and I are always looking at each other, scratching our head and going, well, that's about the most elegant, perfect solution you could have ever come up with for that. It would have taken us forever, and we would never come up with that.
I do remember, like, one of the first times that happened, we had a place in the concerto we wrote together, but we were kind of flummoxed, and we just couldn't really... We had some stuff written, but we couldn't figure out how to get from B to C, and that's what happened. Zakir just, why don't you do this? And he just sang this thing, and it was perfect.
It was just so obvious to him that it was a, you know, the most natural thing to do. But
there, we couldn't, you know, summarize the things that we learned from Zakir, but one of the things that we've learned in our decade spending time together is that he has a connection of melodies and rhythms that are inseparable. Like, you know, you might have been around some kind of classical people who might, or jazz people, they might have some chords they got, or they got a melody they've got. Maybe they've got a groove, but for Zakir, the melody and the rhythm come together. And if he has a rhythm, there's still a sense of melody to that rhythm. If he has a melody, it comes with a whole, completely put together rhythm. It's just those two things don't separate for him.
You mentioned that that was one of the reasons you were drawn to working with him, was the chance to learn from him. I hear how you've learned compositionally. Did you learn anything about playing your instrument?
Oh, yeah. See, for me, the other thing was I've been a big fan of Indian music. I know Edgar has, too. I've gotten to go there, and the idea of being a banjo player and playing with a tabla player was always very exciting to me. In fact, when I went there with Newgrass Revival back in the 80s, I came home with these, you know, my arms full of tabla rudiment books, and my plan was to learn all these tabla rudiments on the banjo. Now, I never did it, and I wish I had, because now I'm sitting with the greatest tabla player, one of the greatest that has ever lived. And the truth is that just getting to groove with him and get in a pocket and improvise with this guy who I've listened to for so long is kind of like stepping into a movie. All of us are bringing such different things. That's what's so interesting about this thing. This group, and there's also someone else that we want to talk about.
That's right.
Yeah.
For this tour, we have a guest whose name is Rakesh Tarazia. He's the nephew of Hari Prasad Tarazia, who is the man who really elevated the flute in India, the bamboo flute. And some of my favorite music I've ever heard actually is his uncle Hari Prasad, and playing with Zakir actually. And Rakesh is really has inherited some of the ability, and he's very much a classical Indian player. But you know, he's spent a lot of time playing in the movies over there and playing in different types of ensembles. And we have done a little bit of touring in India with him, and he's came and played with us. Was it Hardly Strictly? Did we do anything else?
Yeah, we did a few things together.
Yeah.
Yeah, enough to know that it was like, now that we had done this for a number of years and we were, the project was kind of done, that if there was going to be another iteration and we were going to do this again, it would really be cool to have a new voice, especially a cat like that.
All of you are artists that aren't tied to one genre, and I've seen this performance marketed as...
I've tried to find one that would have me.
as sort of bluegrass meets classical meets world music, how would you describe the music that you're going to play at the Skirmerhorn?
Well, I was just going to say that different genres only tolerate us briefly.
That's fair.
Because we skip in and out, and by the time they notice that we're there and they get angry, we leave. But yeah, what would we call it? I think it's just personalities. You know, I think it's different kinds of people and from with a lot of different backgrounds that are very comfortable with being themselves, and so it actually makes collaborating very easy because nobody's walking on eggshells. As much as we deify Zakir, and he deserves it. We're not being shy and like demure, because it just doesn't make a good collaboration. It's just time to step forward and be yourself, and that makes an interesting group. And I said something that I always thought was great, and I would steal, and I'm sure I have many times. But there's more that's similar about all of these different kinds of musics than there is that's different.
Is there anything similar that you found surprising that you maybe didn't think of when you first got together?
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of different interlocking relationships here, but like with Zakir, I mean, it was that thing with Indian music where it pushes like bluegrass. But there is something pretty marvelous about this forward lean. We always talk about in bluegrass this sort of certain rhythmic push where things are leaning forward, and in some kind of optimal world, they're not actually speeding up. But they have an edge that makes you want to listen, and it's like you can't take your eyes off of it or your ears off of it, because it's just something intense about it and propulsive. So, but hopefully it's not picking up too much. But with a lot of Indian music, it does pick up, and it's intentional. It's expected to over the course of maybe a four-hour raga. It just goes from slower to faster and faster and faster and faster. So, but playing with Zakir for me, as from the rhythmic side, from my bluegrass side, is very comfortable, because he can feel that. I mean, he could probably do either.
Can I ask about how you approach rhythm? I know in Western traditions we're organizing with time signatures and measures, and in Indian classical, from what I know, it's cycles of beats that can be super long and complex. So what's going on rhythmically when you're playing together?
A lot of patience from Zakir. I think we've learned to think not entirely like that, but more like that. more often, and it shows up more compositionally than improvisationally for me. I mean, just because it's just too big a reach for me to get all the way in there. But it's changed the way that I write music for sure.
I think we have songs that are, I call them songs, but we have pieces where it's in a time signature. It really is in that time signature for the whole time. Like if we have something in five, we have something, maybe a couple different kinds of five, things like that. And then we have tunes that are compound, compound time signatures. And you know, in other words, there might be bars here and there that are different, or one section might change into a different feel. And I think that's more unusual for Zakir and Rakesh to play those songs, where in our world, I guess that's the short attention span theater that we're all living in around here. We're just constantly trying to like jazz it up. Oh, let's change the bar here, you know, moving it around, changing it, where they have no problem generating interest over 1 meter for, you know, hours and hours and hours. So it's just also a different thought process.
Yeah, I mean, one of the attractive traits of bluegrass music is the some of the unpredictable metrics.
Yeah,
right. And so that's a little bit in our musical DNA. It's part of the game. But I think the surprise, I mean, one of the surprises with Zakir is that, you know, you grow up and listen to this since you're young, and you thought, well, when you're around it, you're going to kind of see how he does it. And you can't. I mean, it's like you think, I'm going to figure out the tricks to this. There ain't no tricks to it. You know, he really can do all those things, you know. And he really, you know, he figured them out at an extremely young age, so he was able to internalize them and make them natural. But and I'm not going to be able to do those things, but I can, you know, learn about them and get a little better at it.
I was going to say that Zakir and I share this kind of rhythmic thing that we can get into a certain kind of pocket together. Now, Edgar and Zakir share this mathematic thing. And when they start going, I'm like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but they'll throw around. For instance, I came up with this tune, and we figured out it was 53 beats. So I didn't know what it was. I did come up with this idea, but so okay, that's okay. That was my contribution. I have this idea. These guys just started talking back and forth and running through the possibilities like so quickly, and I just felt like such a doofus sitting there. I really couldn't contribute a thing, but luckily I had contributed the first idea, so I didn't really have to contribute. Now it was their turn, but it just turns on, and they're just immediately in this very deep mathematical option land that. And they both came up with solutions that were interesting, and we just tried everything. And but I feel like I'm the earthy one that just plays by feel, and somehow, you know, it's finds my way. But then I bring that to the process, you know, of just the sort of whatever it is that I do.
Now, you may have already answered this, but I want to ask anyway. I was watching your Tiny Desk concert, and you make it look so effortless playing together, and just hearing how, I know how complex the music actually is, and maybe I assume because you all play at such a high level that it's easy to play together. What is the most challenging thing about collaborating in this trio?
Different for each of us, probably. I mean, for me, I'm just, you know, not as rooted in rhythm and improvisation. It's an important part of who I am and has been my whole life, but you know, Bela's more of a specialist there, and then Zakir is the man. And so, you know, my dream is just that I don't get up there and see myself with a cloud of rhythms I don't understand, you know. And, you know, if I work hard and stay alert, then that doesn't happen. But that's the hard thing for me.
It's nice to come back to a project that you haven't worked on for a while, because it's been, at least 5 years since we've done this. And so listening back to some things, and I heard the things that I kind of got used to, the way I had played them, and some of them were kind of scuffling through things and not really getting, especially in some improvisations. And so for me, it's like knowing what the bar is like on Indian music and playing in these time signatures and how to land these ideas, and I just hear myself, and I just feel sometimes like I'm a real poser, but I'm giving it all I got, and I'd like to, you know, finish one of those tunes and feel like I really knew what was going on the whole time, and didn't you know, save the day by some last minute lucky turn or end up flat on my face. But you know, I am willing to be flat on my face a good amount of the time. You kind of have to be if you're going to be an improviser. What you just have to learn to do is pick yourself up in such a way that people think it was intentional, or that they just go on that ride with you. You know, I would really like to get better at all these things. And that's what, you know, we get to do in a situation like this, is get to learn on the bandstand from one of the great, great effortless players of the world.
And that is, you know, where in a lot of music, that's where a lot of the learning does take place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you can go to school and you can do this and that, but going out and playing with people is where you really assimilate.
So all three of you, and Rakesh too, can shred on your instruments. So I have to ask, who's the fastest?
Zakir.
That's
not hard. That's just not hard.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a blur. He's a blur.
Mm-hmm. But you know, he it's always in a decipherable way. Mm-hmm. I mean, he, you know, you can't be slow-witted about it, but it's always clear.
Thank you both so much for coming in. Can you tell us the details of your performance?
Absolutely not. It is a matinee.
Yeah, that's it's Sunday afternoon.
At 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, which is unusual.
November 4th. Looking forward to it.
We are too.